Good evening, everyone. It's midnight again, and welcome to the Film Club. My name is James, and as always, I'm here with the awesome Dave.
Hello.
How are you doing, mate?
Better now than I was on Saturday.
Mate, what's on your neck? Can you explain?
Okay, so
what the fuck happened, bro?
Very, very quickly. On Saturday, I'd intended to go to Yokohama to buy a Christmas present for my brother.
Mm.
And I got all... I was gonna say gussied up, but I threw on a jacket. and I was getting ready to leave, and my girlfriend was doing something in the other room, and I had my doors closed, and they're like the
slidey paper doors,
yeah, or whatever, right? And there's a lip up into my living room.
It's
yeah,
a fucking death trap.
Because yeah. I think these rooms used to be tatami.
Yeah.
So, like, it's enough that Tatami could fit on here, but I don't know why.
They just built this
over top of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Elevated
it. I've climbed that 3-inch step many a time. I biffed on it this time. I went through the paper door, but the paper doors are fucking old because they look like they're from the 80s, so they probably have never been replaced ever. And, of course, my dumb
gaijin... same era as this movie that we're doing.
My dumb gaijin ass is the first one to break them. So one of the frames, the lacquered black frames, broke off. And it kind of like, because it's old wood, it's really brittle, right? So it shatters into like sharp pointed edges.
Mm.
And it got me right in the fucking neck.
That's why you've got that giant... God, Jesus, like 10 centimeter long plaster.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Did any get stuck in?
No. Well, at the time I thought there were some, and then my girlfriend begged me to go to the hospital, which I was a little bit pissed about because I was fine. But at the end of the day, nothing in my neck. I'm okay. I'm going to probably have some kind of a scar because it was deep enough that...
Did you have a sympathetic doctor?
No, he's a fucking asshole.
This is the problem here. It's like... You know, you probably snap your leg in like 15 different places. And, you know, imagine that you're a sports person, right?
Yeah.
Imagine that your whole life is football or something. You break your ACL. Doctors here are like, well, you're not going to play again. It's literally like that, isn't it? They're just like,
That's a shame.
I've had very empathetic doctors in Japan. I'm not saying that everybody's a scraggly old scrotum, but like,
there are 50%, a lot of
50% are. They're just like, here, get well, take this Chinese medicine.
Yeah, basically,
like,
right?
The fuck,
yeah,
bro. Like, can I have antibiotics because I have gangrene? It's like, take this Kempo.
Yeah, that's basically what my doctor did. Like, I got in there. He put gauze in like a, what are they called?
the gauze, like,
no, what the fuck are they called? The things where you grab the thing, tweezers,
tongs.
Barbecue tongs, long ass barbecue
long
tongs. And he like cleans out my wound, and he goes like,
"Don't come back."
He's like, "There's nothing there." He's like, "Why'd you bring the?" He like said to my girlfriend something like, "He's like, why did you bring this in? It's not serious." And I'm like,
"You paid $60."
And I'm like, "Man, I just got fucking nicked in the neck for like a fucking 2-inch.
You got in the jugular, bro.
Yeah, I got like a 2-inch long gash on my fucking neck. Ooh, it's not serious. Don't come back." And
fuckers.
It's like, fuck you.
Fuckers, mate. Fuckers. Well, I'm glad you're better. I'm glad you're better, honestly.
So now I know what Christian Bale feels like when he can't turn his head in the Batman suit. Because I like the plaster's like tight enough on my neck that I can turn it like maybe this far, and that's it.
I want you to introduce the movie like that in a minute, which is just in that Christian Bale voice.
Where's the movie?
Where's the fucking movie? By the way, I just want to say thank you for coming to the show last week.
I know, it was great.
It was fucking awesome. We played in Shimo Kitazawa, and it was a great success. And there's a video of the live show on YouTube, which I'm not going to put on the bio because that's self-promotion, shamelessly. However, Dave is on the video and you can see him nodding on it.
Yeah, I'm
vibing, man. Thank you so much.
It was honestly good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much. So everybody, Loneliness and Big Cities, check it out. Shameless self-plug.
That's
Dave,
fine.
Or Christian
whatever,
Bale.
We run this podcast. It's not what you...
And
what
also,
do you mean shameless self-promotion?
Tokyo Fresh, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
Get on it, everybody. Season 3 is out now. So Dave, or Christian Bale, or Bruce Wayne, can you...
my voice is going to be fucked at the end of this if I do anything like Christian Bale.
Can you introduce this fucking awesome classic gem?
Oh, it is a gem.
Of a Mel Brooks movie, my friend.
Okay, so this week...
Do the voice.
Which voice?
This week, where have you watched a movie that's like Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars?
It's got balls in it.
It's got balls in it. Where are the balls?
No, we watch Spaceballs.
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
Spaceballs, everyone.
There it is, planet Druidian. And underneath the air shield, 10,000 years of fresh air. We must get through that air shield.
We will, sir. Once we kidnap the princess, we can force her father, King Roland, to give us the combination to the air shield, thereby destroying planet Druidia and saving planet Spaceball.
Everybody got that?
Spaceballs, the movie.
Princess Vespa spaceship within range, sir.
Good.
What's going on?
It's either the 4th of July, or someone's trying to kill us.
Now we will show her who is in charge of this galaxy.
If you do not give me the combination to the air shield, Dr. Slotkin will give your daughter back her old nose.
No!
Only one man and his trusted companion can save planet Druidia from disaster.
Okay, Eagle 5, coming in.
Lone Star.
First, they must learn the secrets of yogurt.
Yogurt? I am the keeper of a greater magic.
The Force?
No, the Schwartz.
Avoid capture on a distant planet.
Tell them to comb the desert, you hear me? Comb the desert!
Found anything yet? We ain't found...
Battle the entire Spaceball army.
Shut my
ear! Holy!
And escape the clutches of Dark Helmet.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Abandon ship! Proceed to escape pods!
What the hell's the matter with this seat, fella?
When does this happen in the movie?
Give me balls!
Spaceballs. The movie.
How do I know you're not making faces at me under that thing?
And may the Schwartz be with you!
Right, okay. This movie's an undisputed classic.
Oh, it is better now than it probably was in 1987.
1987, American space opera parody of Star Wars... Co-written, produced, and directed by the legendary Mel Brooks, who did Blazing Saddles, right? And Young Frankenstein, silent movie.
Have you seen any of those? Yeah, I think he had done like...
A lot of them are referenced in this.
He did History of the World immediately before this.
Yeah.
The Blazing Saddles, you mentioned, what was the other one you mentioned?
Young Frankenstein, silent movie as well.
Yeah. And Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yes, Men in Tights. So, 1987, we had what? Iran-Contra. We had Reagan tear down this fucking wall. We had Thatcher. Pretty fucking depressing, like, era, really.
Yeah, yes.
I think, you know, Cold War and that. And we have this fucking wonderful comedy just in, like, the middle. And you've got to think, Return of the Jedi, the final... Well, it wasn't Lucas. It was a different director. But Lucas obviously wrote the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
That was 1983.
Was Kasdan who did...
Kasdan did Empire.
Empire, yeah, he did Empire.
Lucas did the first. It was a Welsh director who did the third one.
I don't remember.
But then Lucas kind of just went, yeah, I need to do this, I'll put this here. And then he started to intervene. Oh, what's his fucking name? We'll get onto it. But anyway. I don't like directing.
But yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter.
But yeah, so Spaceballs came 4 years after Return of the Jedi. So, like, you know, space movies were fucking big. You know what I mean? And...
Well, I have to wonder at that time, right? Because, like, Star Wars, the original, was, what, 77? So 10 years before this.
Yeah.
And I think kind of in that
decade... There was one every 3 years.
In that decade from 77 to 87, there had to be, like, a billion fucking sci-fi movies that just ape Star Wars, right?
Even James Bond did, like, a fucking...
Yeah.
I think that was 84. Moonraker, yeah. It was fucking dreadful. But, like... No, it's actually not bad,
but it's dreadful.
What is it? Fucking Ricky Gervais in space. He really does look like Ricky Gervais,
the bad guy in that.
Yeah. He wants like a perfect society in that. So yeah, we've got Spaceballs, and all of the tropes, all of the classic like elements of Star Wars are in this. Mm-hmm. And I have to see, this is something I'm not an expert on, and maybe you'd know this, okay. But like, there was a lot of parody movies at that time. We had like Naked Gun, yeah. Hot Shots,
Airplane.
Wrongfully Accused was probably a little bit later, right? The one, Fugitive was made way later. That was like the 90s. So yeah,
with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, yeah, yes, that was like 90. Yeah. But like, obviously,
get off my plane,
Leslie. Oh, that's Air Force One.
Oh, whoops! He's in so many plane movies. The Fugitive is,
I didn't kill my wife. Like, I don't care.
Is that the one where he jumps off the dam?
Yeah, he jumps off the dam. Okay. That is a classic as well. But
I mean, Harrison Ford just plays himself in every movie, so you'd all. Was it that
again? Family Guy sketch where he's like, "Give me back my family." He just goes up to random people. What about my family? Harrison, your family's safe. Give me back my family. Are you insinuating that I killed my wife? He had a mechanical arm. I love that movie. But anyways, so the 80s were full of like... was Hot Shots like a Top Gun parody? That was like in the...
Yes, I think so. Like in the 80s.
Oh, Loaded Weapon, of course. Lethal Weapon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So like, we're living in like an era. It's really weird, like... It was really cool to spoof something. And a lot of them share the same kind of, like, visual gags and, like, shots and, like, just fucking weird humor with inanimate objects or fucking... Yep. And, you know, it starred either Leslie Nielsen or fucking Charlie Sheen's son. Martin Sheen's... Oh, yeah, Martin. Yeah.
Martin Sheen.
I was like, wait a minute. Charlie Sheen
is the son.
I was going to say,
I was confused.
Martin Sheen's fucking ancient. I saw him in West Wing.
Yeah. He's like, where he's the president.
You'll get horns. Yeah. I love the West Wing, man. It's fucking sick. But anyways, Spaceballs. This stars the late, great John Candy. I was about to say Philip Pullman, but that's
Bill Pullman.
Yeah, Bill Pullman, yeah. And Daphne Zuniga, who's absolutely gorgeous in this.
You can't forget the best guy. Rick Moranis is in this.
Of course, Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis is...
And Joan Rivers we mentioned last week.
Yeah, Joan Rivers, yes.
Rick Moranis in this is fucking...
You know what? Man. Rick Moranis, like, man... That man should have just done comedy parody movies for fucking ever. Because his timing is so good. And he's so funny in this fucking movie.
He was in Ghostbusters. He was in Ghostbusters.
He's in Ghostbusters. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. But, like, that's... kind of
Little Shop of Horrors as well.
He was in movies in the 80s and early 90s for like a hot minute, and then he just left, which is so unfortunate because he's just so good in this movie.
So this movie was released on June 24th, 1987. I think in the June, that's when Reagan did the Berlin Wall speech. I think I remember. And despite initially getting a mixed reception from critics and audiences, it's since become a cult classic, and it's probably Brooks's most popular and well-known movie.
Probably.
Although with Blazing Saddles, I think.
Yeah. I think people have like a pretty big fondness for Robin Hood as
well. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Which we should do. Mm-hmm. But do you have a synopsis of this?
Okay, fuck.
I want to challenge you to a synopsis. Cause...
Okay, so...
It is one of the most meta kind of fourth wall breaking experiences, I believe, of its time. Really.
The evil empire kidnaps a princess to get the codes to a dome for her planet so they can steal the air to bring to their planet because their planet doesn't have air for some reason, or they've used it all up. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what the bit is there.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wacky hijinks ensue.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. So we've basically got Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Who save the princess and save the universe and save Earth. Well, it looks like Eastern Europe. Druidia.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Jewish references in this movie, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. This movie starts off with the famous Star Wars kind of crawl.
Yes.
And then it ends with the classic, if you can already read this, you don't need glasses. I want to, before we get into it, what's your experience with this movie?
I watched it when I was much younger. This is the only second time I've ever seen this movie.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I watched it when I was like maybe high school.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember a lot of it.
Did you enjoy it at that time?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Did
you resonate with a lot of the jokes?
You know what? At the time, I think it was when I was watching it in high school, I thought it was less funny than it actually is. But now I think it's pretty fucking funny.
How many times did you laugh yesterday, like proper belly laugh?
Oh, God, like 8 or 9, easily. Same.
There's so many, like, subtle jokes. The writing in this is fucking top tier comedy writing.
Yeah.
Like, some of the quips, I don't know if you've wrote any of these down.
Oh, but it's all fucking quips. Like, I got 5 pages of quips.
All right, we start off with the Star Destroyer, right? Yeah. In this case, Spaceball 1.
Yeah.
I should have timed it, but I think it's like 2 minutes 20.
It's 1 minute and 18 seconds. And it just, but I, it's such a good visual gag, right?
I'm even laughing now.
Because it goes right, and you think like, okay, where it's supposed to get to the end of the Star Destroyer, because you've seen Star Wars, you know what it is, right?
It's just like a giant fucking Dorito.
So the it's moving, and then the music kind of goes, it starts to go up, and then it goes back
down. And then it's like just more metal.
It just keeps going.
And then it's like, I remember being a kid and watching it, because I've seen this movie loads, man, and it gets me every time. It really does.
It got me twice, right? Because I hadn't seen it in so long, so like I didn't remember that this happened, right? So I'm watching it, and the first time it goes, back down, right? I'm like, oh, haha, okay, that's funny, right? And then it just keeps going for like another 40 seconds.
The payoff is, you get to the end, and then it says, we break for nobody.
Genius.
And it's just good. So impractical. And the Spaceballs themselves are like a kind of, well, I don't know if they're the militia or like the people of the people of Planet Spaceball, right?
Yeah.
But like the stormtroopers in this case are just like white suited fucking, well, like red shirts, you know what I mean? But white shirts.
They're in like a work jumper with a giant ball. Like round motorcycle helmet on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the general?
Colonel Sanders.
Colonel
Sanders. Chicken? What's wrong, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
But it's like, some of the dialogue instantly is just like, you told me to let you know when Planet Druidy was in sight. So? It's in sight. It's like, you're really a spaceball. And like, you get this, the entrance of Dark Helmet. And like, it is the most oversized fucking thing.
It's huge,
and,
right? Yeah.
This scene already had me in fucking stitches, like the first time I saw it, because it's just so fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's like, really dumb.
He looks so funny. He's got like a tie.
What's funny, and, like, because everyone else around Rick Moranis is super fucking tall, and they had to have done this on purpose. So he's like just this like 5 foot nothing dude with this giant fucking helmet in a suit that has like a suit and tie like embroidered onto the front of it.
What, like a sink plug?
Yeah, where it's like, a drain or whatever. Drain.
And like everybody's looking at him like this, oh, fucking hell. And then he's like breathing really close to the camera, just. I can't breathe in this thing, you know? And it's just such a fucking, like, how do I say, like, humanizing moment. Because you think, who's this fucking freak? And then it's like, it's Rick Moranis in a suit. And he's like,
I like that underneath the fucking visor in the helmet, he still wears glasses. Like, you could just put, like, lenses in the fucking helmet. But nah, he's just got glasses underneath.
One of my favorite lines already is, like, the subordinate goes over his helmet.
Yep.
And then he goes, I'll never do it again. And he pulls out the ring. And he goes, oh, shit.
It's funny because, like, you don't expect it, right? You don't expect it at all. And, like, just, he has this visceral, like, Will Ferrell-esque reaction where he just goes, oh, shit.
He, like, wins.
Oh, shit.
And then he like numbs his balls with it.
Yeah, he shoots him in the balls with his green laser beam.
And again, and so many good lines. It's just like, What's all this churning and bubbling? Do you call this a radar screen? No, we call it Mr. Coffee. Do you want some coffee?
Yes!
I always have coffee when I watch radar screen. And everyone's like protecting their balls.
Yes. Well,
because of the ring, right?
Yeah.
So basically, they want the air from Planet Druidia because it's fresh.
Because
and we go to the wedding of Princess Vespa, right? And she's going to marry this narcoleptic dude called Prince Valiant, but she doesn't want to. But he's the only prince in the galaxy.
Left, yes.
Yeah, right? And there's this weird thing where it's like, there's no princes, so she's going to marry him.
Yeah, she has no option. She has to marry him.
The fucking priest in this scene, man.
Okay, hang on. Is the priest Ricardo Montalban?
Hang on.
I wrote down Ricardo Montalban, and now I'm not sure that that's who the fuck it is.
As the priest?
Yes.
Eh.
He's like a famous actor.
I'm not sure, actually.
I'll look it up while we're doing that.
So,
but anyway,
there's just so he plays like the guy doing the vows, right? Mm-hmm. The priest, and he's like, "We welcome Princess Vespa, daughter of King Roland, going right past the altar, heading down the ramp and out the door." It's like, and he's just like really passive, just like fucking follows her. Oh, and of course, we forgot Joan Rivers as Dot Matrix, who's yes. C-3PO. So we got Princess Leia, we got C-3PO, we got Darth Vader. And so that's three Star Wars characters right there, pretty much. Yeah. And then we cut to... they escape in a Mercedes-Benz...
What is it called?
I forget, but he's like, I paid cash and my cousin, he was very nice.
He's like, my cousin Vinny works at, you know, he like works at a dealership and he got me a really good deal.
And
so.
He's like... Very nice. Dick Van Patten, everybody. Legend. He passed away 6 years ago, bless him as well. But yeah, we cut to our protagonists in one of the best opening shots of like a vehicle ever. It's just like a Winnebago in space.
Yes.
With a bumper sticker that says, I love Uranus on it.
Yes, I wrote that down. I love Uranus.
And we've got Chewie, who's John Candy. He's a dog, right? Mm-hmm. Barth. And Lone Star is Han Solo, basically, in this case. And they're broke bounty hunters in a fucking Winnebago. Basically, just like jet-setting across America, you know, in space. Have you found the actor?
Yes. His name is Ronnie Graham.
Ronnie Graham? What's he in?
He's in Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Mm. Mel Brooks' collaborator.
He's in Murder, She Wrote as a character.
Of course.
History of the World. Oh, he's in MASH for one episode.
MASH.
He's in something else,
but
I can't recall what I see. He looks a lot like fucking Ricardo Montalban. Maybe that's why I thought that was him, but it wasn't. Okay, anyway, then I don't have anything to say about Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah. So, what do you got to say about our protagonist?
I mean,
Lone Star.
He's
Lone Star.
he's the Han Solo-esque, you know, stand-in for
handsome kind of like
yeah.
protagonist.
Interestingly enough, this was like Bill Pullman's like first big movie.
Really?
Yeah. He had done a TV show for like an episode and then some other movie and then this.
I think Mel Brooks and his wife like scouted him when he was doing like a stage play or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Bill Pullman's a great actor, man. He was in, of course, Independence Day.
Yes, as the president.
As the president, and he was also in Lost Highway as well, if you've ever seen that.
I don't think I have, no.
Yeah. David Lynch.
Oh, okay.
So it's fucked up, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's David
Very
Lynch.
Fucking weird movie, Lost Highway.
I've seen Eraserhead. Nothing else can faze me after that.
Weird movie, mate. So, yeah, and they're in debt to Jabba the Hutt, or
Pizza the Hutt.
Dom DeLuise.
Yes, Dom DeLuise. I was going to mention that.
Yeah, and his metal fucking sidekick. Basically, Bib Fortuna.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Pizza's going to come out for you, and he's like this metal fucking mafioso, you know?
I like that you know Jabba's sidekick's name is Bib Fortuna. That's...
Mate, I was a huge Star Wars nerd growing up, man, and then Disney fucking stabbed it.
Well, we'll get there.
Fuck
we'll
Disney.
Get there. fucking I just have to say... Pizza the Hut is fucking gross.
What, like he's pulsating, there's like pepperoni and shit.
And he's just like consistently melting cheese all the time. And it's funny because like the guy who's in the suit for Pizza the Hut, because like Dom DeLuise is doing the voiceover
yeah.
for Pizza Hut. He's not doing any of the, like the in costume things.
Yeah.
Like, you can just see, I don't know what the fuck it is. It's clearly not cheese. It must be, like, glue and sawdust or some shit. Yeah, yeah. And it's, like, leaking into his mouth as he's talking.
It's like, so weird because you just see his chin and it just looks like a throat.
Yes,
and it's going fucking blah, 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 weird. Blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, it's gross.
And then
his
colleagues are like, "You're delicious."
Just he's like, "Oh, Pizza Hut, you're so delicious." And he's just eating them. It's so fucking gross.
They've charged them a million space bucks.
How are you going to get a million space bucks?
By tomorrow? And, so, like, the perfect opportunity comes around. The princess gets captured by Dark Helmet and crew as, like, ransom to get the heir from the planet.
Yep.
So then the King Roland.
Yep.
Right. Basically says, "Oh, I'll pay you $1 million. Please find the princess," right? And then we...
"But don't scratch the Mercedes."
Yeah. "If it's all possible, try and save the car," he says, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And they approach Spaceball One, who have captured... Well, they've got the tractor beam, right?
Yes.
And the Mercedes. One of the best gags in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Starring, there's a fucking comedian. I should have wrote this down. But basically, they jam the radar.
Right, yes. Where they actually throw just jam. A giant jar of jam at the radar dish.
And then there's that guy that's just like...
Winslow.
Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow.
He was in Police Academy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
As the sound effect guy.
We'll have to put this in here.
The sweeps, the sweep. What does he say? The bleeps, the sweeps,
I've
and
lost
the creeps.
I've lost the bleeps, I've lost the sweeps, and I've lost the creeps. And he's like,
"Oh, he's always talking on the thing.
I'm funny, sir." You don't need that. We're right here. That's genius.
Mm.
It's genius. And like, the jam comes down and he's like,
"Raspberry. Only one man would dare give me the raspberry.
Lone Star." But that's the beauty of this scene, right? This is when I started to realize that it was a parody.
Right.
Because, like, the camera goes towards Dark Helmet.
Yeah.
And Colonel Sanders looks at the camera and is like, "Fuck, I better get out of the way." And he just, like, looks at the camera and then it hits him in the face.
Yeah.
Best thing about that scene is when he falls over, the space balls just like turn around and then go back to it's like instantaneously like, "Oh fuck. Oh mate." And so they get the princess and there's a lot of romantic tension between her and Bill Pullman's character. They get introduced. Barf as well.
Yes.
I'm my own best friend, you know. I'm half man, half dog, you know.
A bog.
Yeah. And they take the Royal Highness's match luggage.
It's so fucking... Like, this stuff sounds, like, absolutely unhinged and fucking stupid when you talk about it like this. But in the movie, it's really funny.
Yeah. It's a Royal Highness's match luggage. And so then they have to try and escape and then do the light speed. Interesting fact about this scene. They do the ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed.
Right.
Skip right to ludicrous speed.
Tesla used this.
Yes.
In their cars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What
is it? They go plaid.
Don't, mate.
They've gone to plaid.
I've... always use that phrase with my friends, like when we were in the States and many things were done in the States, we'd say, "Oh, he's gone to plaid," if he's just like gonked out on the floor. It's like, "Was I okay yesterday?" "Nah, bro, you'd just... gone to plaid." I was like ludicrous stoned.
So there's a scene, I think maybe it's after or before this, where they go to like the president of Spaceballs.
Oh god,
Mel Brooks himself.
Right. And he's sniffing that can of Derriere, right?
No, Perrier. Perrier.
No, it's Derriere. Like,
is it Derriere?
Derriere.
I thought it was Perrier.
No, it's based on Perrier.
Perrier, water.
Right. And that whole Star Trek scene, where it's can you beam me up?
Can you beam me up to this place?
It's like, fucking next door.
It's like, Scotty's done this a whole bunch of times. He goes, "Ah, screw it, they do it on Star Trek."
And he's reversed. But then it's like, "Forget it. I'm not going to be beamed again.
I'll just walk." And he opens the door. It's the next room. Yeah. It's fucking great.
It's great.
And he like walks in the room and he like talks to those like two twins or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, hi. What's what the
President Scrooge."
Scrooge.
He does this salute like,
yeah,
like this.
The up yours salute.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, hi, Scroob." And he just goes, "Ah, chew your gum."
Yeah, it's like, "Hello, Marlene. I'm Charlene."
Yeah.
"Hello, Charlene. I'm Marlene. Chew your gum."
Just chew your gum.
I love the Scottish, like, Scotty kind of dude. Because they make him really Scottish. And then he goes, "Lock one, lock two, lock three, Loch Lomond."
It's so dumb.
That's something my dad used to laugh at quite a lot. But yeah, they escape, run out of fuel, crash on a desert planet, which is Tatooine.
Tatooine.
There's the Jawas, the Dink Dinks. Dink Dink. Dink 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 Dink.
I love, okay, they crash on fucking Tatooine and they're like lugging around her fucking match luggage, whatever.
The hair dryer, right?
Yeah. And she's like, she's getting like really incensed with them. She's like, I don't have to put up with this. I'm rich. I'm like, yeah, yeah, that sounds about right.
I take only what you need to survive. It's my industrial strength hair dryer. And I can't live without it. It's fucking genius. And yeah, there's a bit of tension between them. They almost make out, and the droid's got a virgin alarm and all this kind of stuff.
Fuck.
Programmed to go off before you do, you know, and, yeah, we have Jawas, of course, the princess, the protagonist, Han Solo, everybody, Darth Vader, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, Yoda's in it.
Okay, hang on.
Before we
get to Yoda, I want to make a point here very, very clear. Now, in previous episode, You gave me guff for saying that something was a nice crossfade.
Nice dissolve.
And in this movie, Barf literally goes, nice dissolve.
No. It wasn't stick. It was, we were watching Chopping Mall, mm-hmm. and you had a mouth full of popcorn, and you just go, nice color fade.
Nice color fade. Nice color fade. It's nice dissolve. Yeah. It's the same thing.
So they introduced the concept of the Force in this movie, and it's called the Schwartz.
The Schwartz.
Right. And we come across Yoda. Yogurt, right? Yogurt the wise, yogurt the powerful, just plain yogurt.
I said, Yogurt the wise is a magical space Jew. Because he literally is, like, not even to be like, yeah, you know, like, being racist. No, I think, like, Mel Brooks 100% just admits that, like, yogurt is intentionally supposed to be a magical space gene.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. There's so many, like, kind of, what should I say, like, jokes towards that in this.
Yeah, where, I think Barf says, like, she doesn't look Druish or whatever.
Yeah. But also, like, this scene when they meet Yogurt and he has the shop, the merchandising. Yeah,
yes.
This was a dig at George Lucas.
Right.
George Lucas gave him permission to, like, do the movie because it's, like, based on a lot of his intellectual property, right? But he said, you can't sell any toys because they're very similar to, like, what we make, right?
Yeah.
So then he does all, what, Spaceballs, the coloring book, Spaceballs, the bedsheet, the toilet roll. Spaceballs,
the flamethrower.
Which Elon Musk did with the Boring Company. Yep. Yeah. Elon Musk loves this fucking movie. It's a shame he's a fucking twonk, but, you know, apart from that. That was, like, a kind of show of force, like, oh, we do merchandise, right? Like, yes. I think they did a breakfast cereal, like, in real life.
Something like that,
because it's not really an action.
There was, like, actually some few merchandise things that were actually real.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everything was just made for the movie.
The flamethrower, when he pulls that out. The shirts. I think you can get shirts still.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, we skipped over one of the funniest fucking gags. The fast-forwarding through their own movie gag.
Oh, God.
And that...
This is so one of the funny. Best moments in the movie. Like, it's so meta. And I've never seen anything like this since.
No! And I had to,
it's
like...
It's genius,
I had to sit there for, like, a hot second to wonder how the fuck that they did this.
Because it's just like...
They had to film this scene last, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, after everything else had been filmed.
Probably because, well, it only goes up to a certain point, right?
Right, yes.
Because basically, now. In short, yeah, we're looking at now. Everything that's happening now is happening now. What happened to then? Anyways, but
when do we get to then? Later. When's
we're
later?
We're now now.
We're now now.
When will then be now?
Soon. When soon?
So basically, it's like, get me a videotape of Spaceballs the movie.
Yeah.
It's live. It's in the cassette, but it's live, right? And it's got, like, an FBI warning, and then they fast forward that whole scene. Oh, shit! We missed that scene where Rick Moranis fucking eats shit.
After they go to Plaid, and they
what have I done?
he just, like, goes, like... I mean, so many of these things are physical gags, and I think that's why this movie works.
This is why you got to watch it, and it's on YouTube in its entirety.
Yes,
by
the entire
fucking legend who posted that.
I could not find it on Netflix, so I'm like, oh, okay, I'll look at Amazon Prime. It's not on Amazon Prime unless you want to rent it, but
yeah,
not gonna do that. But yeah, you sent me that YouTube link, and I was like, thank you, man from India, who uploaded this on your like one subscriber YouTube.
Yeah,
thing.
I love you, honestly. Yeah, I watched it on the train.
So yeah, if you want to watch Spaceballs, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. We'll put the link here. Oh no, I don't think we should. We don't want to get it taken down. Oh, fuck that. But anyways, it's on YouTube. Spaceballs full movie. So. So they get the full movie Spaceballs on the VHS. Yeah.
I love that there's also like on that wall, it's like all his other previous movies, Silent like Blazing Saddles, whatever. But
it's
then underneath
such a flex.
But then underneath there's like Rocky 1 through like 28. They're all just like individually.
They reference
labeled.
That later.
Yeah.
When they say Rocky 5.
Yeah.
1000.
5000, yeah.
Which I wouldn't put it past Sylvester Stallone.
Rocky 5000.
They just cryogenically freeze him and just bring him back in like 500 years time. But yeah, and then they find so they watch this video and it's like them on the screen. It's unlimited, and it's just like, wow, this is fucking genius. Like the tape
it's
only goes
really
up to this
point. Funny, yeah.
Like what the fuck? The meta humor is.
Yeah, they can't like fast forward it past where they are in the movie because it doesn't exist yet.
But like at the same time, this shit's happening on Tatooine, right?
Right.
So then they're like, oh, it's on the moon of Vega. You know, like
they've cut this scene.
When? Where? Who?
Oh man, this movie.
It's fucking genius part of the movie. And another favorite quote's coming up, Dave.
Oh.
Holy fuck. This gets me every time. They go to the desert.
Yes.
Of course. And Dark Helmet's got like his fucking... You know like McDonald's back in the day where like you got the cup holder and it's just like that really weird molded cardboard?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
His helmet reminds me of
that. It's like a giant... It's a giant pith helmet.
Pith helmet, yeah. And
there's giant Savari helmet, as I put.
They're like, we can't find them. So then Scroob goes... Tell them to comb
the desert.
And it cuts. And they're actually combing the desert.
Yes.
Found anything? No. Found anything? No. And it goes to like the Afro comb.
Yes.
It's like, have you found anything? We ain't found shit. It's the best fucking queen.
Do you know what's interesting about that? Here's a little factoid. Since you are also a Star Trek fan, the guy who says, we haven't found shit, is Tuvok.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it's funny because recently he posted like a TikTok and he's like, I've been working in entertainment for 25 years. I was on a show, maybe you heard of it, called Star Trek, where I played Tuvok for 9 seasons of Star Trek Voyager.
Hey, it was Voyager, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
But the only thing I ever get recognized for is having a giant comb in a fucking desert saying, we ain't found shit.
It's a quote of the movie, man. It's fucking genius.
We ain't found shit.
We ain't found shit.
I said, Tuvok saying we ain't found shit is some real weird stuff.
Did you jump up and just... No, the Leo DiCaprio kind of like...
Because I knew it was Tuvok because I had seen him talk about it before.
Yeah.
But I was like,
you was expecting
it. I was like,
it.
Wow, what the fuck? I was like, it really is him. Okay. That's fucking funny.
Yeah. So they invade the planet and then Vespa gets tricked. Oh, before that, Lone Star is practicing using the Schwartz.
The Schwartz, yes.
Yeah, by lifting up the statue with the ring.
Mm-hmm. With the giant S ring.
Yeah, yeah. The Schwartz. And crushes Barf's foot like a pancake.
And it's like some Looney Tunes shit where it's like big and flat. Yeah.
And he's like, sorry, Barf. Like, absolutely destroyed his foot. And then obviously they, Dark Helmet disguises himself as like Vespa's dad.
Yeah, yes.
And then, fooled you. I love that line.
Fooled you.
He just like pulls that phantom of the fucking opera shit. Just,
yes. Like, he just kind of dissipates and then he's just there and he's like, fooled you.
And so obviously Lone Star, we'll get through the plot a bit more. Lone Star follows them and Yogurt's like, we'll meet again in Spaceballs 2, the search for more money.
Hopefully we meet again in Spaceballs 2.
But do you know when I was a kid, I was so easily like hooked where I was just like, oh, they're making a sequel. My dad was like, no, bro, like it's parody. You know what I mean?
He's thought about making a second one.
It wouldn't work.
Oh no, he could
It would not work at
all. Are you kidding? The sequel trilogy is ripe for parody. Holy fuck, that'd be so good. I know, so but
like I mentioned at the start, the era of parody movies is kind of over because we saw that renaissance with like Scary Movie.
Scary Movie and stuff,
and
yeah.
like Scary Movie was funny as fuck when I first watched it, but then like they did the second one, which was meh, and then 3, 4, and then Epic Movie, Disaster Movie, Meet the fucking Spartans. All this shit was just...
Yeah, those are garbage.
Date Movie or whatever. Just
but the thing
tanked.
Is, like, I don't think Scary Movie is funny anymore, but Spaceballs is still funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Scary Movie, like, what were they referencing? Scream.
Yes.
Which was like...
But here's the problem. Here's
teen
the,
horror kind
here's
of...
Here's the difference between Scary Movie and Spaceballs.
Right.
Scary Movie is the references. Spaceballs has references.
Yeah, yeah.
References That's the difference.
Other, yeah, yeah. Yeah, other stuff, yeah.
That's why Spaceballs is still interesting, because there's, like, an ongoing story, yeah. whereas something like Scary Movie is just jumping from reference to reference. Yeah.
Plus, people still, well, apart from the Disney fucking debacle, right? Mm-hmm. Pricks. People still like Star Wars, right? But, yes. like, Scream was just, like, a one-off.
Yeah, who
gives like,
a
There's
fuck.
A few Scream movies. And, like, that was popular at the time, like, with I Know What You Did Last Summer,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
all
yeah.
those kind of teen horror slashers, right? Which...
Yep.
aren't acceptable for everybody, so
no,
it was
no,
just
no.
a flash in the pan. And I don't know who made those movies, but like that, it ran out of steam really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these movies in the '80s with Mel Brooks and like I said, the Martin Sheen movies, right?
Yeah,
and all that kind of, and the Leslie Nielsen ones still hold up today.
Yeah,
because a lot of, like you said, it references not just the work it's referencing,
yes,
but many others.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Not only
in
that,
it's
but
such
like,
a hybrid kind of
not
comedy
only
model.
That, but the movie itself has some kind of semblance of a story.
Yeah, it has its own kind of identity.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, it references Star Wars. Like,
but I can tell you
what are
the plot beats to this movie.
I like
right?
the story of this movie. Like, of course,
it's
a cliche sci-fi. And it's stupid, but it's like, you just go along with it. Like,
yeah.
oh, there's a fucking giant maid robot.
right. Which
with
happens.
A vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know what I mean? And we come to... Have you got anything? Do you want to...
I don't know. Where are you going with it here?
Well, they're gonna jailbreak
Princess Vespa.
Yeah, but like, there's just one scene of Rick Moranis playing with dolls that I want to talk about.
yes. Yeah. Okay.
When he's playing with action figures.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah.
Again, like the
thing
shots
you can't
that...
do. Because George
Fuck,
said
we,
no.
We missed another bit from the start. Like, fire a warning shot across her nose. The major asshole stuff.
Oh right.
When he's like,
yes.
Who
okay.
made him a gunner?
I did,
sir, and he's cross-eyed.
He's cross-eyed, and then, like, yeah, the...
I'm surrounded by assholes.
He's like, he's my cousin, sir. He's like, what's your name? He's like, Major Asshole or something, right? Yeah, that's what his name is. He's like, I'm Major Asshole. And he's like, Rick Moranis turns around, he's like, how many other assholes work on this ship? And everyone in the room except for one guy stands up.
The guy looks around.
And he's like, I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing, assholes! But yeah, like, so they're firing shots at George Lucas for, like, the figures. And
yeah.
he's got, like, this is the meta, right? Why has he got figures of all of them, for a start, right?
Why does he have figures of, yeah, of himself?
And then he's
and...
just like, oh, I love you, like, to the princess. And then he's like, what are you doing to my girlfriend? Buh, fuck you, fuck you, fuck
yeah.
you. And then they do, like, this sex scene.
She's like, no, I don't love you.
And then she's like, your helmet is
so... But your helmet is so big. Actually, the figure looks like a cock. From 100%, the side,
yes.
It looks like a cock. Mel Brooks is a fucking master of parody. His movies are so fucking good.
And they torture her, right? By
yeah.
wanting to give her back her old
give
nose.
Give her back her old nose.
Like,
she's got this huge,
crooked
like,
nose.
Crooked witch nose.
And then he goes, what's the password to the air shield? One, two, three, four, five. And then he goes, that's the stupidest. That's like some bullshit somebody has on his luggage.
Yeah.
And then Scrooge walks in. That's amazing.
It's
the
same
combination
I
have with
my luggage.
It's fucking. The payoff with these jokes, they'll say something that's funny, and then somebody else will come in and just reinforce it.
Yeah.
It happens so many times
so I love,
in this fucking
I love
movie.
When... did you catch when the like surgeon doctor guy is like gonna gonna fucking change her nose back or whatever, and they accidentally turn off the movie, like the screen just goes black.
What did you do? You turn off the whole movie.
Yeah.
Put it back on.
And they put it back on, and he's like in the his like fucking nurse's like cleavage or whatever. And I forget what does he say? Dark Helmet says like, oh, go work on your putts or whatever.
Yeah. Go back to the golf course and work on your putts.
So this is like a double entendre reference, because putts in Hebrew is slang for dick. She says, go work on your butts. And then as they're walking out, he looks at like the nurse and he's like, I bet she gives great helmet.
This movie.
He says it with such like kind of,
bet she gives great helmet.
Fucking sad. It's like this long pause.
Yep.
It's fucking genius.
So they jailbreak the princess with Barth, and then there's this whole shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like it's like the Death Star like breakout scene, yes, from A New Hope.
Yeah.
And on these little prison balls on the planet. And fucking there's just this one scene where it's like they're running towards the blast door. And they jump through, and then It's like, right, move or you're dead. You know, who are you? And then it's like, you captured their fucking stunt doubles. It's just shit like this.
And like Princess Vespa's stunt double turns around. He's like this half balding guy.
Like a cigar.
And he looks like Hitler. He's got like a Hitler mustache. And he's like really buff or whatever. It's fucking stupid.
The shit like this carries this fucking movie, man.
Yeah, it's fucking funny. It's
just gag a minute shit. And then we get to like the final part where like Planet Spaceball turns into like a fucking
giant
Statue of Liberty made with a vacuum cleaner, and they're gonna suck the air out, right?
Yep.
Again, some great. And they go inside the year, which is like I don't know what this is, like kind of, well, the Death Star trench run type. Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. And do you want to go from this? Yeah.
Okay, so like they get in the thing, they break out, they go to like try and find the self-destruct thing, and eventually Lone Star meets Dark Helmet, and like they have a Schwartz duel.
They have a lightsaber fight.
Yeah, right? Except like every time they activate their like, it's like a ring, right? Like their lightsaber ring. They like hold it in front of their the dick. And just Dark Helmet.
I see.
Oh, I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
So many good things about this scene. One, he blaps the cameraman.
Yeah. They like they show him hit the fucking cameraman. He's like, it wasn't me.
He did it. And then the shit. I hate it when I get my Schwartz twisted. Yeah. And it like twists like
they,
a
like,
fucking
twists around.
The whole fucking.
Don't you see, Lone Star?
I am your brother's mother's father's sister's former roommate. What does that make us?
Absolutely nothing.
Which parodies, of course, the Darth Vader thing. I actually said that this morning to my colleague at work, because he likes Star Wars.
Yeah,
I was like, bro, have you ever seen Spaceballs? Because we're doing it for the podcast. And he was like, oh no, what's that? So I showed him that scene, and he was like, I am your father, Dishaw. And I was like, no, I am your blah, blah, blah former roommate. And he was fucking creasing at that scene, man.
It's funny.
No one's ever done that good, right?
No.
Like, of course, like, in like other media, they've done the whole, like in Toy Story 2, Zurg, it's like,
I'm your father.
It's like, whatever, right? It's funny, but it's not. But like, this is like such a fucking great angle on the joke.
And it's because of Rick Moranis' delivery, right? Like, he just delivers it so well.
But it's that voice that he's got. Just Lone Star. Oh, it's fucking brilliant.
I'm your father's brother's cousin's second cousin's ex-roommate. When he beats him in the lights. Evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
Good is. Too bad this isn't the wide world of sports. Say goodbye to your two best friends. And I don't mean your friends in the Winnebago. Start aiming at his balls. But yeah, they self-destruct the thing, right?
Yep.
And obviously all the airs, like there's a Paramount reference in there with the trees and like the mountains and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. And he goes, what's happening? It's Mega Maid. She's gone from suck to blow.
Or like when it's blowing up and the fucking Scroob, he's like, I can't make a decision. I'm the president.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Evening, Prime Minister. But yeah, so they escape Death Star, basically. Like,
you know what surprised me, though? Is they say fuck in this movie.
Oh, when he's like, out of order.
Out of order. Fuck! He's like, ah, fuck! Even in the future, nothing works.
There's one bit just before we go on to the ending is when they're going into the year.
Yep.
And he's like, put her in hover. Put her in hover. He like repeats him. He's like, going to infrared. Going to infrared. Praying to God. Praying to God. I'm going down there. He's going down there. It's just like such a... It's just such a good bit, really. They've got great chemistry as well, Bill Pullman and John Candy in this. Like, you can tell they're best friends, you know, and it's good to humanize a Wookiee as well, like, in a way. Because Barf is such a fucking loyal companion. The Death Star blows up. They land on a desert planet. We get a Planet of the Apes reference.
Yep.
And
I have written down here, I can't read what I wrote because I wrote it in the fucking dark. I said, I totally forgot the dancing something shit.
The dancing alien.
That's what it is. At the diner.
I love this because it's like got fucking Bon Jovi or something on like the... And it's like a proper like American truck stop.
Yes.
Millennium Falcon's there as well.
Yes, it is.
Because we get ILM helped.
I mean, there's literally music from Star Wars in this movie.
Yeah.
When they go to Tatooine, I'm like... This is just the Star Wars music. Series, what the fuck?
So, like, they're at this bar, and it's like, do you want the soup or the special? And he's like, I'll have the cleavage. Oh, the special.
The special.
And then John Hurt's there from the original Alien, right? And the chest burster comes out. Yeah. And that guy's like, get him some water. Water my ass. Give this guy some fucking Pepto-Bismol. And obviously the alien just like pops out and you get that fucking, oh, what's the movie?
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. It's the dancing frog Warner Brothers.
Yeah. And then in the end, basically, Lone Star's got this locket.
Yeah.
And Yogurt says, I'll tell you what it means eventually. They open this fortune cookie. Finds out it's a prince.
Yeah.
And there's some liquid Schwartz in his locker, like in his glove box. Then it's just like, get back in time and marry her. And then... The fucking priest again. It's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to marry somebody tonight. Do you do it? And it's just, who are you? Barf. Your full name? Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
And they get married and then it's happily after. That's the end. It's just such a cliched kind of like narrative. However, we've got Spaceballs the movie. Spaceballs the coloring book. Spaceballs the trivia section. We're going to get onto this if you want.
When fucking Scroob is sleeping with the two twins. You got Spaceballs the sheet.
Spaceballs the toilet paper.
The toilet paper, yeah.
Yeah. And I mentioned the Millennium Falcon makes a cameo on the Space Diner. Because George Lucas read the screenplay and he loved it that he wanted ILM to kind
to
of
do,
help.
Yeah.
And so again, Mel Brooks wanted George Lucas's full permission to parody any and all things, but not merchandise. But they did anyway, right? And yeah, the scene in which Dark Helmet is playing with his dolls was not in the screenplay.
Yeah, it was all ad-libbed or whatever.
Improvised,
by
all of it.
By Rick Moranis, which, man, fuck, that scene is fucking funny.
Yeah. Thanks to Rick Moranis, we have John Candy in this movie.
Yeah, because they were friends, right? Yeah. And then he suggested John Candy for the role. I think there's like a quote by Mel Brooks that says something like, they were going to originally like put a big like dog mask on John Candy. And he's like, well, fuck, we're going to cover up his face. You might as well just hire someone for half the price. Like, why do we need John Candy then, right?
Pretty much. The escape pods in the end are unused clips from A New Hope.
A New Hope, yeah, there you go. There's unused Star Wars footage in this fucking movie.
Have you got any more trivia on your own?
No, I don't. I've read some trivia, so I might...
Yeah. So apparently George Lucas loved it so much, he busted along, apparently.
Yeah.
And Brooks said it was like... He was extremely flattered. Michael Winslow... did most of the sound effects during his scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they saved around $1,000 by letting him do it.
They didn't have to come back and ADR his beeps, sweeps, and creeps.
Yep. President Scroob is Brooks.
Brooks is backwards. Anagram for Brooks, yep.
Yep. The Barf costume was operated by three people.
Which is kind of crazy, because like, it doesn't seem like now you could probably just have it operated by one dude.
Yep, so John Candy operated the tail using a control in his paw, while two, according to this, two assistants controlled each an ear. And there was a 30-pound battery in his back.
Yeah,
too. I mean, he's a big guy, right? Yeah. He can fucking hold it, but, you know. yeah, and Dark Helmet, we've got some notes on that. And, yep, you mentioned the Wrinkled Bulldog.
Yep.
And, yep, so writer, producer, and director Mel Brooks came up with the idea for this movie when he discovered he had yet to spoof a space movie. So he did Western with Blazing Saddles. Yep. He did horror with Young Frankenstein. He did silent movies with Silent Movie. And yeah, Joan Rivers voiced Dot Matrix. She wasn't in it.
She wasn't in the suit. So I gotta give props to the actor who's in the suit, because like, she's doing weird shit. Like, she's like on John Candy's back in this giant fucking golden suit. She's riding around on roller skates. She's, you know, walking through the desert.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, man, okay.
The box for the Spaceball cereal says it contains 100% sugar.
I love that the Spaceballs, the comic book, is just Transformers with Spaceballs written on it.
Yep, yep. And Spaceballs, the book, written by the Goosebumps writer, R.L. Stein.
R.L. Stein wrote the fucking Spaceballs book.
Yep. Reveals the names of the Rinky, the Dinks, to be Rinky Dink, Blinky Dink, Stinky Dink, Pinky Dink, Finky Dink, and Winky Dink. So obviously there's a Snow White reference there.
Stinky
well.
Dink.
Yep. There's a few more that I've got. Steve Martin was the original choice for Colonel Sanders.
Oh, Steve Martin, that would have been good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the guy who played Colonel Sanders is...
Yeah,
fine.
The chew your gum comment to the twins was because of a twins commercial.
They're in a gum commercial or whatever.
Yep, and one of the dinks was played by one of the guys who played an Ewok.
Oh, okay.
Which
not?
Yeah,
not fuck. What's his name?
Tony Cox. Not Warwick Davis.
Not Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis is a legend.
Not in this movie.
And final note: along with Caddyshack 2, Beetlejuice, and Big, this movie is notable for containing a fuck. In a movie rated PG.
Yeah, they say shit and fuck in a PG movie. Like, I mean, this...
Shit!
This was, what, was this before the MPAA, like, really had a hard stance on movies?
Nah, I'm not quite sure.
Not really. Hmm. I don't know, because definitely...
We had video nasties in the 80s, but that was in the
but those
UK
were kind of like
primarily.
Unregulated, right? Like, they weren't rated
but that
by...
that changed... That introduced the BBFC, which was the rating system, right?
Okay.
So, but then again... There's a great sketch, actually, on a comedy show called Snuffbox, where it's a bunch of guys working for the BBFC, the British Broadcasting Censorship something... Fuck Association, right? Where basically they sit and watch every movie and then they have to go, contains sexual violence, contains strangulation.
Okay. Like the whatever, the censorship. Yeah, right.
But like in this comedy sketch, it's like all of them are going, it's like such a gratuitous film where you hear it going, pass me the baseball bat. Oh, let me fuck it. And all this kind of stuff. And then it's like, oh, excellent, excellent. This is definitely going to get an 18. And like this. And then it's like, is that a dog? And then you just see them wincing and then all you hear is, whoop. And then they go, cancel it.
Fucking A.
It's fucking genius, man. Yeah, Bon Jovi's in this.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no.
I was like, where was Bon Jovi? I didn't see Bon Jovi.
No, the thing.
The music.
The planet was supposed to be called Planet Moron originally as well.
You mean Planet Spaceballs?
Yeah, Planet Spaceballs.
Planet Moron.
Yeah.
Why did they change it?
I don't know. Planet Spaceball just works. And it's got like Congress on a big...
Yeah.
Just looks like a nipple.
Well, it plays the fucking American anthem when it goes to the fucking... what's it called? When it goes to Planet Spaceball and like the wide shots or whatever.
So Pizza the Hut, I've just found, was an actor effects dude called Richard Caron. And he was required to wear the fake molten cheese. He refused to climb back into the suit when additional shooting was required.
I don't blame him.
So the special effects artist took his place instead. And Mel Brooks got a rash from playing yogurt because of the gold. He's very fucking...
Wait, Mel Brooks played himself and so yogurt?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
of course
A.
He's yogurt, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and... yeah, John Candy improvised as well as Dark Helmet. And yeah.
See, I don't feel bad about saying this movie is about Jews in space because Mel Brooks said it was about Jews in space.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. So, Dave, we're going to have to drop a lot of fucking like quotes in this
okay.
movie. Do you have anything else?
So... No, I don't have any other quotes I want to talk about. I want to talk more about the meta part of this movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And just how it's like...
It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like weirdly... it's really prophetic in a lot of ways.
In what way? Like the fourth wall kind of shit?
No, in... So, the movie has this, you know, whole... conceit that it knows it's a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's like, aware, it has to do, like, marketing.
It's aware of itself,
right?
Yeah. It markets itself.
It markets itself, right? But, yeah. Like, they make... Yogurt makes, like, this whole, you know, shtick about, like, the movie doesn't actually make money. Where you actually make money is all the fucking merchandising, right?
It made $38 million from a $22
million
dollar budget. But yeah.
That being said, you look at, like, what it's parodying, right? At the time it was parodying... 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah,
Star Wars
yeah,
4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now
that's all it had to work from.
With the context of Disney acquiring Star Wars, it is more relevant now, I think, than it was back in 1987. 100%. Because, like, Disney, I mean, George Lucas marketed the fuck out of Star Wars. Let's be real. You
I
look
mean,
at
yeah,
episode
yeah.
1, 2, and 3. You can buy a fucking Burger King cup with Anakin Skywalker's fucking face on it, right? Like, you know.
I don't like Pepsi.
Yeah, I don't like Pepsi. It's too sweet and it gets everywhere.
Gets everywhere.
Gets everywhere.
I don't like
my
popcorn.
Demon.
But yeah.
I have so many cavities now. But anyway, right?
But not here. It's smooth. Proceeds to rub whoever's face is next to him. Fucking hate that scene.
I love
with a passion, bro.
I love Coca-Cola. He's just stroking fucking Santa's,
stroking the
Santa's fucking beard. I love Coca-Cola.
It's sugary
and sweet and just like you, Santa.
The glass bottle was very glassy.
Yeah. But anyway, right? So Disney, like, even more so than Lucas, I think, markets the walk out of Star Wars, right? Like,
yeah.
You can buy fucking... Like, there was a point where I remember people posting on shit, like, on Reddit, where it's like, buy Star Wars grapes, and it's got, like, fucking Yoda on the package or, like, some shit, and it's like, fucking what? Like, Star Wars branded grapes? Grapes have nothing to do with fucking Star Wars. I mean, at least, like... The stuff like at Burger King or some other bullshit.
Buy some Green Goblin oranges.
Yeah, exactly, right?
It'd be cool.
Your fucking orange bombs. So you can throw
I
them
checked
at
the label.
You know, I'm something of a farmer myself.
I was on about the butler. I checked the label on the oranges and they match the bombs that your father has.
Now, they would sell pumpkins if that was the case.
Yeah, 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 of course.
Anyway,
that was 2 weeks ago.
Fucking
get over it, Jay.
Spider-Man's still coming back.
I forgot where it says this movie, Spaceballs.
But Spaceballs is so, like, referential in that it's parodying the original Star Wars. But I think it's more referential because as much as people like Star Wars, I think that the new three movies have kind of just not hit in the way that Disney had hoped, but...
Do you want to rephrase that?
What do you mean?
It's killed Star Wars. It has stabbed Star Wars.
I'm not talking about my personal opinion. If you want to have a fucking, you know, podcast
about this.
But I'm talking about, like, general reception. Like, it's kind of, it's mixed. Some people like it, some people don't.
The old fans
are people that like it, you need to get your head checked. But...
Lobotomize yourselves.
Yeah. But like,
sorry, but
you know,
fuck
if,
Disney.
If Disney could, they would make Star Wars the Flamethrower.
Yeah, they would. They would.
Of course.
There's a Disney reference in this because when the ding 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 ding,
yeah.
Well, for that. Bill Pullman, Lone Star, wakes up and he goes, when did we go to Disneyland? And I'm like,
wow. Yeah, yes.
Topical.
I forgot about that. Fuck.
Topical. That quote, I was just like, ha!
If only you knew, Mel Brooks.
That was my exact reaction.
If only you knew.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. The irony is because Disney's so protective over the
Star Wars.
It wouldn't even look. They will never make a sequel to this because it defeats the point.
Hell no.
Never be able to because
no way. Fuck. Because
fucking
Disney,
NDA just fucking shut it down. Bang,
Disney takes it so seriously.
Cease and desist. Sorry, not NDA. Cease and desist. Yeah, on the doorstep. But I mean, subpoena. Like, oh, what's this? And it's like, fuck you, bro. Like, I made Spaceballs in '87 and the original.
I mean, George Lucas doesn't matter now. Now that Disney has their hands on Star Wars,
I have to. We've got to talk about Disney a minute just to interject, right? Here's James's rant. I fucking hate them.
Okay.
Right.
Go on.
Growing up. Growing up with Disney movies, right? Mm-hmm. I know Disney was always. I mean, Walt Disney was a shitty fucking anti-Semite anyway, right? Mm-hmm. He was a piece of shit, right?
And I think a lot of people maybe don't know that, but.
And, like, the whole notion of Disney movies, when you're a kid, it's magical. And a lot of the movies that I really love during that point in my life were Disney movies. And I still love a few Disney movies. Mm-hmm. But the corporation itself.
Yes.
It's become an empire.
Yeah, 100%.
It's become an evil empire. It always was. But it's got to the point now where it's like, don't even get me started on Kathleen Kennedy. Or fucking anybody that works on the new Star, apart from Jon Favreau
and Dave Filoni. Those are the only two people I give a shit about.
You are the only fucking people that can save Star Wars. I mean, Mando, Rebels, the Clone Wars, that shit was good shit.
Yes.
Right? And I'm hoping Boba Fett, you didn't have to bring back Boba Fett, but I'm up for more Boba Fett, right? Because Mando.
So why not? Yeah.
Mando was fucking excellent. It's the only thing I'm interested in now of Star Wars.
Yes. Yep.
The movies.
I don't give a fuck.
Well acted in places. You know, Daisy Ridley was, like, really good as Rey, and John Boyega was good, but the characters were fucking shit. The
Here's my biggest problem, right?
Fucking hate them.
I don't want to go on a Star Wars rant, but I think that's where we're going to go. I mean, we're getting close to time here. But anyway.
Fuck him, bro. Fuck him.
Anyways. The biggest problem I have with the new Star Wars movies is that all of those characters are trapped in those movies.
Yeah.
Like, Daisy Ridley as Rey could be a great character. But, unfortunately, whoever wrote the fucking script just did not do her justice. Same with Finn. Finn could have been a great character. Like, at the
Force
end...
sensitive.
Yeah, at the end of, I think it was the second movie? Last Jedi. Or no, at the end of the first movie... I don't remember which one it was. But they weirdly sort of kind of almost imply that he's Force sensitive.
Oh,
right?
No, it's the end of the last one.
Oh, okay.
Rise
whatever.
Of Skywalker.
I've never seen it. That's how fucking bad it was.
Don't watch it.
It's fucking awful.
Look, and J.J. Abrams, shame on you. Fucking shame on you.
J.J. Abrams is a fucking hack, but we can get to that another day.
I can't, man. Like, even... I despair, Dave. If you don't like Star Wars anymore, just watch Spaceballs. And I've got to that point in my life I had to say that.
Yeah, it's true, right?
You'll have more fun watching this fucking 90-minute fucking spoof of Star Wars
than you will watch any of the other movies. Yes.
Watch the original.
100%.
If you like the sequel, I do have a soft spot for the sequels. Like Phantom Menace.
Oh, you mean the prequels?
No, the prequels, yeah. I do have a soft spot for them. They're ridiculous, right? But they're good ridiculous, right? Mm. But the sequel trilogy, it's not even funny. It's insulting, man. It is a fucking insult.
I agree.
And don't fucking at me with, like, the fandom's toxic. I understand the fandom's toxic. And I'm not aiming any vitriol at, like, the actors or the crew. Or fucking anything.
I mean, they got handed the script that they were handed. The problem
I am
is...
aiming my vitriol at Disney. Mm. Because you don't... Well, you fucking do if you're Disney. You buy a franchise, you milk it, and then you fuck off, which they're going to do in a few years when they've absolutely stabbed it some more. It's a dying fucking carcass. Yeah. And Dave Filoni and fucking Favreau are literally like, hi, we're still alive.
Dave Filoni and Favreau are like... the fucking EMTs that like run up to Star Wars dead corpse and they're like shocking it with the fucking
legit,
paddles.
Legit.
And they're like, it's not breathing anymore.
They are fucking, give them all the control.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy can fuck off. Whoever else is fucking, you know what? Fuck you, Lucas, as well. Die with that property. Don't get your fucking $4 billion and just fuck off. I know you want to do your philanthropy and all this kind of stuff, but bro,
I have no problem with Lucas selling off that thing. I have
to
more...
Disney. I do.
I don't have the. See,
I mean,
the
it
thing.
Could be fucking anybody at the end of the day.
I don't have a problem with Lucas selling off fucking Star Wars, but he could have sold it to anyone. It's the thing that there was the potential there, and it's been fucking squandered. Like, just absolutely fucking squandered.
You know what makes me laugh? We've seen this a lot with, like, fandom in community. Like, good fandom, right?
Right.
Weird example, but recently we had a new Grand Theft Auto kind of definitive trilogy, right?
Yes.
Which was 3, San Andreas, and Vice City.
Mm.
But for years, modders, like, good fans have, like, done definitive versions of it.
Yes.
But then, like, the company will pay somebody to do it and do a shit job.
Yes.
While scolding the fandom, right?
Right, yeah.
The same thing happened with Star Wars, right? You have a lot of, like, expanded universe. You have all these fan stories. Fans can write better fucking stories than those sequels.
I mean...
And it's like, what they do is get inexperienced writers who do these fucking really pretentious interviews when they just turn around and go, yeah, I used to play with Star Wars toys when I was younger. I totally know what it is. But they've had no fucking experience. They're just paid to say that from Disney, right? And then they write an absolute... Because it sounds really nerdy, but, like, this is why we have, like, real diehard fans of Star Wars that will go, well, you've broken it. If you can light speed through a fucking ship and destroy it, you've broken Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Because why weren't they
because
doing
nobody
this
understands, like, the
times.
Physics or, like, the fucking laws of, like, that universe apart from the original people that made it. So it's like, why the fuck would you ever try it if you don't know anything about it? It's like me going to NASA and going, there's my blueprint for a fucking ship.
And they go, this won't fly, and you go, I've seen an airplane.
Well, I can fucking fly it. That's Abrams,
right? I played Microsoft Flight Simulator. I can launch it.
And you know what? Like, is where it breaks my heart, right? Because seeing a Star Wars movie for me was like a big fucking deal. I saw The Force Awakens in the UK with my friend Matt, and it was this big deal. We saw Rogue One. I did like The Force Awakens. It's got its faults now, looking back. It's the only decent one out of the three of them. Rogue One was good.
I wouldn't even go that far.
Rogue One was good. Ish. You going for ish?
Okay.
Right. And then I went to see 8, and I was like, yeah, I like this. And then it sunk in, and I was like, ugh. Like, I think I woke up in a cold sweat. Mm. And then I watched 9, and I was like, fuck this. And Solo, I was like, you... And the problem is, after 9, every time I saw something Star Wars related, I've never had to basically headcanon the fuck out of anything so much, where I'm just like, 1 to 6, that's it.
I mean...
Nothing else exists.
I know that I sound like an absolute fucking grognard, but as far as I'm concerned, like, 8, 9, 10...
Don't exist.
7, 8, 9. Sorry, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 7, 8, 9 don't exist, and from...
Spaceballs should be canon.
No. From after Jedi, as far as I'm concerned, it's the expanded universe.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned. The Yuuzhan Vong.
I mean, there's...
They should have done all
there's
that, man.
Fucking
Jason Solo.
Don't... I don't want to go on a fucking diatribe. There's stupid-ass fucking shit in the expanded universe. Like, Chewbacca gets killed by a fucking...
Luke's clone, the Emperor's clone.
Luke! Many clones. Yeah. Like, all that shit is fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah, Chewie does get killed by the moon. Yeah.
But it's... None of that shit is nearly as offensive to me, like, intellectually, as those fucking 3 movies. Like, there's like, you're stupid. You'll buy Star Wars. Look, it's an AT-ST. Look, it's a stormtrooper. Like, there's nothing new or interesting with any of those fucking movies. I mean, at least the expanded universe is expanded. Like, they tried to do something new. Like, Yuuzhan Vong is a complete... Fucking
the
Yuuzhan
Vong is a wasted fucking concept, man. It's
I'll talk
that
to you
would
about,
be fucking brutal.
I will talk to you about episode 10, what I would write for episode 10. But anyway,
well,
we're talking about Spaceballs.
Right. Hashtag, I'm just going to finalize this. Disney, fuck off. And you know what? I want to go to Disneyland, but like,
Because,
you know, I've got somebody in my life that is constantly like, let's go to Disneyland. And I'm like, I want to go on the rides and I want to walk around. However, yeah. I fundamentally fucking disagree with everything yeah. that stands for.
I can in good conscience because give of them Star money.
Wars. Yeah. Because of Star Wars. Like, that was it for me. So all I'm going to say is Spaceballs is canonically in the Star Wars universe because of the Millennium Falcon.
Okay. I mean, technically, that's right,
possible?
Right?
Possible. Possible.
I mean, if the Millennium Falcon's there, that means someone's just driving
Han Solo and Lone Star have probably crossed paths. Yeah, like, what the fuck, go. Bro? You know
there
what
you
mean?
Go.
Yeah. Why not? I wouldn't put it past them.
All right.
So yeah, Dave, ratings. Please.
Oh, fuck. This movie is so good. Like,
sorry we went on a 20-minute Star Wars rant.
About a movie that's a parody of
Do you know what? That's actually, like, de-stressed me. Mm. I think I've been carrying that fucking weight for years.
7, 8, and 9 is a parody of Star Wars. Oh, man. Anyway.
It's like someone's pissed on a corpse.
Wow. Okay.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Carry on. Spaceballs, it's pretty fucking good. I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty fucking great. You know what? It's charming, it's funny,
yeah.
It's fucking stupid, but I don't care because it knows it's stupid.
You laughed a lot.
I laughed at it. Like, honestly, man, like,
it's good. It's great.
This is the highest rating I've given a movie. Are you gonna give it a 9? I'm gonna give it a 9.
I'm gonna give it a 9.
It's fucking great. It's not a perfect movie, but like,
it's perfect in its own ways.
I don't know how you could make this movie better.
It's a timepiece.
Yeah, like.
Like, it's a product of that parody kind of like time, you mm-hmm. know, just like. You can't. This is the thing, you can't really parody movies anymore because audience tastes have changed. We've got TikTok, we've got fucking...
Not only that, but companies will get fucking litigious with you.
But this is the thing, like, if you can parody something, the audience can do it better now.
Right.
On social.
I mean, that's right. YouTube, right?
Yeah, and YouTube. And it's like, the age of parody is kind of... In terms of movies, of course, parody exists, but like in satire, but...
Yeah.
In comedy, but in terms of parodying a movie, it was tried and tested, like I said, with the other ones, the Wayans and stuff in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. It's dead. It's a dead
it's
concept.
Dead, yes. Yeah.
I can't remember the last one that did it.
A parody movie?
Like, Senders it in. I don't know, but it's
white
just like...
Chicks?
But again, that's the same guys that did it.
Yes, you see what I'm doing? The Wayans brothers, yeah.
So all I'm going to say is, the age of this kind of style of movie is dead. It was very popular at the time, and it was a huge fucking thing. And yeah, so you're going to give it a 9?
Yeah, oh yeah. 100%.
I'm also going to give it a 9.
I guess like Borat is a parody movie, kind of.
But it's not like a parody of another movie. You know what I mean?
Okay, it's not a parody of another movie. But you have stuff like Popstar.
Ah, the Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
But what's that parodying?
Being a pop star? I don't know.
Just general, like, well, like fucking, like those kind of pop star kind of documentaries.
Glee.
Oh, yes, yeah. And that wasn't a bad movie,
or another Andy Samberg Hot Rod, which is, like, parodying that, like...
I suppose he's, like, the...
Yeah.
Like, he's funny, though.
Yeah,
I like
he is funny.
Yeah. I'm also going to give it a 9. I've seen this movie a lot, because as a kid, I used to play it, and I actually hope that meta thing would happen in the movie, like, when I put in the VHS, because I was such a... stupid kid, right?
Right.
When I'm like putting on copies of Scanners and shit. You know. Maybe. So basically, like, I remember putting it in, and when it got to that bit, I'm like, is it going to freeze? And then I'm just going to be on loop with the guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It fucked me up as a kid, like, in a good way. I was just like, oh, wow, this is because I didn't understand meta. You see it everywhere now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, shows like Community fucking like popularized it, right? And that kind of stuff, like, for modern audiences and comedy and stuff. But back then, it was so confusing for a kid. I had to ask so many questions. What the fuck? To my dad.
How do they do that?
Exactly. And it holds up today. The jokes are still funny. The jokes are very kind of relevant.
So funny.
Yeah, there's a twinge here and there of kind of like the weird shit, you know, dated kind of comedy.
Yeah,
like,
a little bit,
you know,
some of it.
But it's not outright fucking offensive in your face.
No,
shit,
right? There's nothing in this movie that is like just...
It just flicks your nipple a bit. It doesn't full on bite it. Yeah, yeah. Right? You just a little, just a little flick.
You know what? Like, there's a lot of Jew jokes in this movie, but I believe Mel Brooks is Jewish.
He's
so
Jewish, yeah, yeah.
Like, the man made the movie. The man made the Jew jokes. Like, I can't really be mad at the Jew who made the Jew jokes, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, how do you
mean? Jewish jokes, yeah. It's kind of just, yeah. We'll leave it there.
Yeah.
For that.
I mean, but, like, really, you know.
But it's a nostalgic trip. It's, for me, like, when I watched this yesterday, I just thought, wow, I haven't seen this movie in years, and I still feel the same way about it. And, like, compiled with the Star Wars rant we had, it's made me kind of feel more appreciative of this. And that time that it was made, because I saw this before the prequels, of course, because
I was younger.
Mm-hmm. And 4, 5, 6, or the original 3 was all I had to go off with this. And it's just nice, man. Make it canon.
Yep.
Make it canon.
Spaceballs should be canon.
Yep, and Disney should burn and fucking return to hell where, you know, ironic because Mickey Mouse is a cute character, but it also symbolizes fucking evil. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Disney... Netflix, I know I use Netflix, but they fuck me off now. Apple TV can fuck off. All of these people in suits can just fuck themselves, honestly.
We're one step closer to mega corporation dystopia. Yeah.
And I know you listen to this on Spotify, so we're hypocrites, but we've got to try and like get this out.
I mean, like, you got to distribute it somehow. I'm not handing out flyers on the
fucking
street. By the
way, Spotify, pay your fucking artists properly, you fucking dicks. I'm going to leave it there.
We'll get it.
Fuck you.
Nines across the board.
Nine.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So that was Spaceballs, everybody. And do you have any idea of what you want to do next week? Do you have any ideas?
I don't have any ideas what I want to do next week, per se. There was a movie that I want to do, but it's too similar to this movie that I think we should change it up.
Was it Blade Runner?
No, it was not Blade Runner. Fuck no. No, it was another parody-esque movie.
Huh? Parody-esque?
Yes. Similar.
What is it?
You've asked me at a bad time, because now I can't remember what it was, but it was a parody-esque movie. We'll get around to it. I don't recall.
Yeah. We've actually got some guests on in the next few weeks, which we're going to finalize. So, yeah, we'll update you and everybody. Just want to say thank you so much for your continued support on the Midnight Film Club. We really appreciate it. And we will see you next week. Thank you very much, everyone. Love you.